As the election heats up, there's a new documentary called The Outlier that helps give us a view of Donald Trump and also the issues, and also talks about what God is saying in this election and how the church should respond. The visionary for this is my guest today on The Strang Report. His name is Troy Black. He's a popular podcaster who's become a friend. In fact, he interviewed me. I have a small part in this documentary, and I want to do my part to get people behind it. It's coming out in early October, about a month before the election. You don't want to miss my interview with Troy Black. Stay tuned to The Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang. Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Troy Black. Thanks for being on my podcast. I'm so excited about this documentary that you've made called The Outlier. Tell me about it, and how do you think this is going to affect the election?
Well, Steve, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm so excited. We're deep in the mix of actually like finishing up this film right now. So we got interviews from all over the United States, from different people in different walks of life, but each person having a sphere of influence that's kind of separate from each other. But the thing that connects all these people together is that they're all supporting Donald Trump for presidency this year, and for different reasons, for varying reasons. But one of the things that this film does, that and my heart behind creating this film was to answer some of the questions that are happening within our culture right now. And when I say within our culture, I'm not just talking about the culture of the United States. I'm talking about within the Christian culture. One of the things I've seen over the last 4 years and even 8 years is all of these little, what I would call great divides happening within the Christian culture and within the church. I think a lot, some of it is generational in nature. Some of it is based on different ideologies in nature. And then some of it just has to do with who you're around and the influences that you have. But I think a lot of it is generated from the internet. You know, like we have this this crazy ability to live inside of a household with family and friends, you know, or whatever, or like different generations, and yet be influenced by so many different voices online that it's almost like we're all growing up into our own separate little families before we even get outside of the family unit. And what's happened with issues like Donald Trump is that it can create this divide between even individuals that love each other and are close to each other. This huge divide and this huge gap between what they actually believe and how they're going to vote, you know, ultimately. And so we're trying to answer the questions that have split people and divided people to help not only bring people back together and kind of show the humanity of Donald Trump, the humanity of some of these politicians, but also to give the reasons why. You know, I think a lot of people are asking the question, why would you vote for Trump? And then on the other side, people are asking the question, why would you not vote for Trump? You know, and it's hard for people to understand where other people are coming from. But I believe that this film is going to answer some of those questions in a subtle way for people and show, hey, I have good reason for actually supporting him. And I can actually justify supporting him and still stand on biblical truth, still show and demonstrate the nature of Christ, you know, and yet also reason through, you know, and use common sense and reason through the things that he supports and the things that I'm supporting, you know, and show that. And so we're trying to show that in a film form, that there are, you know, God-fearing, you know, Christ-like Christians who are supporting Trump and they're not having to compromise, you know, in order to do that. And so that's my hope. That's my hope for the film, is that the Christian culture would be impacted in that way, you know, and we're praying that this film would get in front of as many people as possible. And the secondary hope for it is not just that it would impact the Christian culture, but that it would impact the Republican Party and the conservative culture that's maybe grown up in church or maybe been around religious things, but has not made that decision for Christ yet. You know, and at the end of the film, we're going to be sharing the gospel message. And that's my secondary hope, is that it would be a message of light to people that need that and need the message of Jesus Christ.
Well, I have so many questions to ask you, but I think it'd be good if we would show the trailer. It's not very long. So let's show the trailer, and then we'll talk more about The Outlier.
The road is long and it gets cold, but I move on, I can't let go. There's one thing I know, I came too far, came too far.
Here he was, a playboy billionaire. He was a Democrat. He was a darling of the press. And for reasons that are hard to understand, he saw what was going on in our country, and he felt he had to do something.
Everyone kind of thought it was a little bit of a joke, is what it seemed like.
Obama's like a hood hero to the black community. He was saying that Trump was never going to win. Trump is dangerous. They had already anointed Hillary Clinton.
I don't think most Americans want the kind of divisive and dark change Donald Trump is offering.
For a long time, one of the most loved men in New York, to become the most hated person in America. It was shocking.
Shout it out, because I don't want to. She said he's a.
I don't support everything Trump has done.
Hillary said it. We don't like his tone.
And he's not Mr. Rogers. And we are not children.
I turn on television. They're chopping people's heads off in the Middle East. We haven't seen stuff like this since medieval times. And people are worried about my tone.
People we're friends with for more than 20 years, when I came out and publicly supported Trump, said, wow, I thought you were intelligent.
We've got to quit doing this personality politics. It's about policy and principles.
You mean you don't like it that I was nice to the other candidate?
I'm not voting for a preacher. I'm voting for a politician. The legislation is what's going to affect my family.
We will claim the ideals of the Declaration of Independence.
The people who object to our values are often bullies.
I'm not allowed to really speak what I feel.
We're closer to tyranny than we've ever been.
And Donald Trump will do something that other politicians won't do. He stands up to the bullies.
Well, Donald, if you've got something to say, say it to my face.
The politicians all talk, no action. I don't owe anybody any favors.
You saw people get behind him across the nation because they were excited that someone was listening to their voice.
This is the time to reignite the American imagination.
He loves this country.
We must keep freedom alive in our souls. We must choose whether we squander our great inheritance or whether we proudly declare that we are Americans.
There's got to be some kind of superpower on him, because what he is taken could cripple most people.
He may not be perfect, but he honors the God who is.
I believe that there is a miraculous aspect. It explains why he survives these things, and they throw everything at him.
We pray to heaven, and we fight like hell. There ain't no one to save us but God and ourselves.
Seeing the videos, he just turned his head at the right moment, and he was protected.
For him to stand up, like, that was a brave moment.
I'll keep praying to heaven and fighting like him.
To keep freedom alive, there's a price tag, and I think many of us have forgotten what that price tag is.
Wow, that is so good. And that's even though, as you could see, I'm in there. In fact, I think I had on the same tie, but I was honored to be asked, and it was because, you know, I've written several books about Donald Trump and I feel very passionately about it. But tell me, how did you get the idea? Why did you do this documentary? There are other documentaries made. I know that Paul Crouch Jr. made one a few years ago and so forth. Why did you decide to do it? And the second question I have is, why did you call it The Outlier?
Well, the reason was, honestly, it was supernatural. It was a spiritual reason. And that was, one day I was literally just sitting in my office. This was last November. And I was scrolling on YouTube and I saw an image of Donald Trump, like on a thumbnail. And suddenly I had this image in my mind and I felt the presence of God in that moment. You know, it wasn't like some crazy experience, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I got this image of a Trump documentary. And immediately I knew, like, I was like, Lord, you're trying to tell me that somebody's going to make a Trump documentary. And I was thinking, people, you know, there are many Trump documentaries out there that I've seen, you know, that I know that people have made. And then I sat there for a second and I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what are you trying to say? And suddenly I knew, it's like God dropped this knowledge in my heart, like, you're supposed to make a documentary. And I was like, okay. And that was it. You know, I said, I'm going to make a Trump documentary because the Lord told me to. Like, that's it. You know, what was your second question?
Why did you call it The Outlier?
Yeah. Okay. So The Outlier, we're trying to answer the question, how did Trump win in 2016? And then we're asking the question, because he won in 2016, can we see that same thing happen again? Are the same things in place there, in place now? And should we expect that same result? Obviously, we had a different result in 2020. So we look at Trump as an outlier based on some of the things that he says, some of the stances he's taken. One of the major stances being kind of this fight against the establishment. So throughout history and the history of the United States, we've seen several different presidents that have been referred to as outliers. And the crazy thing is, I had this title like just pop in my head right at the very start. That was the name of the film, like from almost from day one. It was like, I'm supposed to make this film called The Outlier. I wasn't sure why. And as I started doing research, I found that a lot of the presidents throughout history who were referred to as outliers shared similar traits to Donald Trump. One of those things was that they were anti-establishment. They kind of fought against the big government. You know, people like Ronald Reagan, people like Roosevelt, people like Abraham Lincoln, and they fought against some of the culturally accepted things of the time, you know, like Abraham fighting against slavery. It was like they fought against some of these things of the time that were culturally accepted in a lot of ways, but historically looking back are not right, you know, and we can see that from a historical perspective. Another thing that they share in common was that these same individuals were either assassinated or had an assassination attempt on their life. And so the same individuals that were kind of anti-establishment and stand out in these ways also had people trying to take them out. And now we see that. And the crazy thing is, we had all of this in place, and we were even planning on filming a scene at the JFK assassination plot in Dallas, Texas. And we're still planning on filming there, you know, and he's another outlier, obviously coming from the other side. He's, you know, more of a liberal figure, but he was also very anti-establishment. So he shared, even though he's coming from the other side, he shared similar traits. And the same thing happened. He was assassinated, you know, and so we were planning on filming a scene of the film there before the Trump assassination attempt even occurred. And I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to fit into the film, but I knew I was supposed to. And then all of a sudden, you know, like there's an attempt on his life, and the puzzle pieces started to come together. And so that really is the reason why, is that, you know, same way that Reagan was an actor, and, you know, before he was a politician. And obviously Reagan kind of made some quips about it, saying things like, you know, well, I thought I was changing careers, and then I realized I really wasn't, you know, like politicians are all actors, kind of making that joke. But we see the same way. Donald Trump was not necessarily an actor, but he was an entertainer. You know, he was a TV show host, you know, all of these similarities to Reagan. You know, he came from the outside. People didn't call him a politician. You ask, why do you like Trump? And a lot of people said, well, he's not a politician. You know, he's able to look at things from a different angle. He was a businessman. He was an entertainer. You know, he had these different perspectives. So when he came in and he looked at the way that government was running and doing things, he said, we've got to change this, you know, and I believe that was one of the reasons why he stepped into that role in the first place, was that he looked at those things, you know, and that's something I know you talk about in the film, was some of the reasons why Trump decided to make this change in his life. And obviously it's been probably a much bigger change than he could have ever perceived to start with. You know, he didn't know that it was going to go the way that it's gone, you know, or that it was going to take so many years of his life, to, you know, this huge project of being president, you know, and then running three times. You know, and some of the difficulties that have come with that. But that's the reason why, is because he came from the outside. And, you know, one of the things about an outlier that we talk about in the film is that, you know, if you look at a set of data and you look at all of the data that's coming in when you do a poll or you do, you know, something like that, you're expecting data to be in a certain range. So the example I give in the film is that if you look at a website and you're trying to poll the visitors to your website and see what age ranges are visiting your website, you know, you might have them answer some questions about their age. And if somebody is like 7 years old or like, you know, 99 years old, those are going to be outliers because it's going to be less frequent. The normal range is going to be between like, you know, 15 and 75, probably somewhere in there. So those might be outliers, but they're what you would call true outliers. So they're out of the ordinary. They're less common, but they can be true. But then you have the false outliers, and those are the numbers. That's the data that's outside of the possible range. And so if somebody said, I'm 1 year old and I'm browsing your website, or they said, I'm 137 and I'm browsing your website, immediately you say, okay, that's user error or a joke. You know, it's not true. They typed in something by accident or to be funny. And what happens with that data is it gets discarded. And that's what we saw the media do to Trump as soon as they realized he was serious. See, they at first they thought he was a joke, and then they realized this was serious, and this was a serious threat to their agenda and to the powers in place. And so as soon as they realized it was serious, then they began to try to paint this picture of this is a false outlier. This is somebody who should he doesn't have any integrity. He doesn't have, you know, there's nothing good that's going to come out of this. And they started to try to delegitimize this person, and, you know, in every way possible. And so one of the things we do in the film is we try to rehumanize this man, Donald Trump. You know, and I think some of the things we've seen lately, we've seen other people trying to do the same thing. You know, some of the interviews that he's done, I don't know if the interview with Elon Musk is the best example, but maybe the interview with some of the other interviews he's done recently, you know, where he sits down and he talks to people. And I've even had people in my life say, man, that was the first time I looked at Donald Trump as a normal human being. You know, when I watched that interview, and it's because he is a normal human being. And he has likes and dislikes. He has feelings. He has emotions. He has, desires, and he has compassion. You like just like any human being, he has some sort of empathy for a fellow man. You know, but a lot of times he gets painted in this light. He gets painted as a dictator. He gets painted as, you know, a narcissist. He gets painted as all these different things. You know, like the devil himself. You know, or the Antichrist or whatever. You know, depending on the culture, and we're trying to show, hey, Donald Trump is not a perfect person. He's got flaws. He's got a past. He's got history. He said some things, sure, but he's a human being, and there's a lot of good there that can be done. And especially from a Christian perspective, I believe that God can do a lot of good through him, and that he already has. And so we look at some of those facts as well. What are the things that he accomplished the first time, the first time around, first 4 years in office? And, you know, some people have kind of used that argument lately, saying, because people have said, well, if he gets into office again, he's going to be a dictator. And people have said, well, look at the first 4 years. You know, we can already see what he's done, and we can have an idea of what he's going to do again, you know. And so we're trying to give people some valid reasons why they could vote for him. But also we're trying to equip the people that already are supporting Trump, but have friends and family members that are completely anti-Trump. We're trying to equip them with, number one, some extra knowledge that they can use if they don't already have that, to be able to defend their stance, but also just a resource that they can share and say, hey, I understand that you have, you know, some hard feelings against Trump and some hard stances against this man and his campaign, but would you be willing to watch this film? I think it's going to answer some of the questions you may have, and I think it's going to help bridge that gap.
Well, I'm so proud of you're doing this film, and I agree with what you say, and I know this to be true because I interviewed Donald Trump. In fact, we found some footage. It was actually filmed on an iPhone, and I had forgotten about it because my podcast was audio back then, and I ran it on my podcast a couple of days ago. People can go on YouTube and find it. It was a short interview, but I asked him who would give him spiritual advice. I asked him about some things that the Bible said. But you can see, you know, we were sitting in a green room at the back of a convention hall somewhere, but he was respectful. He was calm. He wasn't crazy like the media plays him. And, you know, one of the things that I believe is that there's a spiritual aspect to this. Now, it's not part of the debate. And even we Christians are sometimes hesitant to talk about it because we're ridiculed. But mm-hmm. Kim Clement and some others prophesied that he'd be elected 2 terms. And then, of course, when it didn't happen, they were ridiculed. Yep. It's why I wrote God and Donald Trump. And then you have to ask, why did he turn a split second and that bullet missed him? You know, what is God up to? But let's get back to talking about this election, because we have in Kamala Harris, a person that just 60 days ago was a national joke. Even Democrats made fun of her because of her laughter and what they call words salads and so forth. And now They're saying that the polls are neck and neck. And she's a person who has really very little experience. And you talk about policies. I mean, it's one thing to have a policy about fracking. It's another, what is our national defense going to be? And how would our president lead us in a very dangerous world. There's some very, very dangerous players out there, and Donald Trump has proven that he'd be strong. So explain to me why you think it's so close, and how could the body of Christ make the difference? Because I think it's true that a lot of Christians stay home.
Yep.
And don't vote.
Well, from my perspective, I think there's several reasons why. Number one is there's a huge no Trump, you know, side to this coin. There are a lot of even Christians in the Christian culture. There's subcultures that would just never vote for Trump, you know, for various reasons. And so we're trying to affect that culture. We're trying to speak into that, obviously. But yeah, another thing I think it's up to 30% of Christians are not going to vote now, you know, or are choosing not to vote. And I think it's because they feel like they don't have a good choice. So that's another thing we're trying to address is, hey, you actually have an option here. And it's not just that you have an option, that's a good option, but it's that the severity of not voting, you know, and is almost throwing a vote for the other side in some cases. And it's like kind of if once you start to see, you know, I didn't even fully know what Kamala Harris supported until I started making this film, you know, and in just the last couple months of her, you know, being in the spotlight and stuff. And I started doing the research and I started to see some of these things. And I'm not kidding you, Steve. I got scared, you know, like with, you know, and it's like, that's me being like transparent here, but I'm like, this is scary. Like, I did not understand some of the views that she had on some of these topics, things like not just moral issues like abortion, you know, and sexuality, but economic issues and things that are going to affect the state of this nation and the people that live here. It's scary to think about, you know, from a common sense perspective that someone could have some of these views, you know, and potentially be in leadership. But here's the other side of the coin that I think some people are missing is that Kamala Harris is a woman and we have not had a woman president. And I said this on my podcast the other day on YouTube. I said, I'm praying that we get our first woman president. You know, I said, I'm hoping that we do get our first woman president, not this time around, obviously, because I don't want her to be president. But I'm saying, but sometime soon in the next couple election cycles, I'm hoping we get one. And I'm just hoping that, and I'm praying that she'll be a godly one, you know. But here's the reason why I say that. And I even had some women in the comments on the live stream saying, no, you don't want a woman president. And here are the reasons why. And here's my response to that is that it's inevitable. It's inevitable because of the culture we live in today. And it's a culture of firsts. You know, Barack Obama, a lot of people voted for Barack. And I've heard the stories of people voting for him and saying, I voted for him because I was so on board with the first Black president idea that we needed a Black president, which we did and we do. But the problem was that it was Barack Obama, you know, and so, and then later they recanted that and they said, I got so hyped about it because he was going to be the first Black president. I didn't realize what I was doing. And later I've switched sides and I've regretted that decision, you know? And so that's the other issue is that people are so gung-ho for a female president, which I believe is inevitable. And because it's inevitable, and I would support it either way, personally, I know some people would, some people wouldn't, but because it's inevitable, I'm praying that that's going to be a godly woman that gets into office once that happens. And I think when that happens and when she's on the right ticket that we should all throw our weight behind her, but it's definitely not Kamala Harris. And that scares me. And I think that's why the polls, you know, it's because people are throwing their emotions into the game and they're saying, well, I'm going to be behind the first woman president. It's not going to be said that I wasn't behind the first woman president, you know, and that's what's scary about it is they're looking at the emotions and they're making that decision based on emotion instead of based on the values that she holds and the policies that she's promoting. And once you start doing the research and looking at the policies themselves, it, like I said, it gets very scary and it's not a good picture.
Well, our country is so divided. There are some states that will vote red kind of no matter what, and some states that will vote blue kind of no matter who.
Right.
So it's going to come down to a few swing states. And I personally believe that Donald Trump is stronger than the polls are saying, but it's scary how close it is. So how can a documentary, a film like The Outlier, make a difference? When is it playing? How can people get involved? How can we get as many people to see this as possible, and how will the film affect the election?
Well, number one, I would say if people want to get involved, go watch the trailer. Well, obviously, again, we showed it during this podcast, but go find the trailer on YouTube and share it with somebody. Maybe not everybody if you're not led to post it, but like share it with somebody, right? We've already had people sending the trailer to people that are not planning on voting for Trump, but could potentially be persuaded, you know, and they're sending that and saying, hey, maybe you need to check this out. Because they know what's going to be inside the film. Number two, make sure you watch the film when it comes out. It's going to be coming out the beginning of October. So there's going to be about a month between when the film releases and the election. So we're leaving a little time there. I mean, we're hoping for a viral result, but you never know. You know, even if it's only a small impact, at least I was obedient to what I felt like the Lord was telling me to do. It's going to be available online. I'm not sure all of the different spaces is going to be available. We're still looking into that right now. But it's mostly going to be available as a streaming film where people can watch it online in various places. And then the way it could potentially affect the election is, the thing I talked about at the very beginning of this podcast was the culture war that we're experiencing and the cultural divides that are happening within the Christian culture. One of the things that I've seen in my short time here on earth is, you know, and being a part of various families and various church cultures, and I've attended a lot of different churches over my life, and the one that me and my wife are in now is the one I've been in the longest, except for when I was a little child. But what I've seen in all these different cultures is that a lot of times, whatever culture is the biggest inside of that, in that church or family or whatever, whatever culture is the loudest, oftentimes steamrolls the other cultures inside of that culture and the other opinions. And the term nowadays is gaslighting, right? Like that's the new term that everyone's using. But it's been happening for a long time, you know. And I've always used that term steamrolled, but especially the younger generation that is now voting age. What I've seen personally is that when their culture gets ignored, or it doesn't get somebody doesn't pry into it or ask them the question, "What do you think?" They just go silent. They go silent, and then they go online and they listen to people that are reinforcing what they believe, or they've gotten their beliefs from people they're listening to online. You know, and so they're creating their own culture inside of this. And I'm trying to break those barriers down and get people to start talking again and get people to actually ask those questions. What do you really believe? You know, and I think what happens is some people are afraid of even saying it in the culture that's loudest. Like if you go to a church that's very pro-Trump, you might be afraid of even saying, "I don't think I'm going to vote for Trump," because you're afraid of the cultural reaction. You know, you're afraid of the backlash. But what if we had inside of the Christian culture, what if we had a culture where, you know, the love of Christ is so prevalent and so obvious and so readily available between believers that if somebody said that, they wouldn't be afraid of the backlash. Instead, they would be expected to get invited out to coffee. And then two people can sit down and they can say, "Let me know, like, can you share your concerns with me? I'd love to have a discussion with you about it." And then, you know, and then it's this beautiful thing that can maybe even like affect that person and change their mind ultimately, instead of just excluding them further and pushing them more to the outside. So that's my hope, Steve, is that this would be have a cultural impact on the American church and the Christian community in that way.
I am so excited about The Outlier, and I hope that you are too, and that you will do your part to share this. You can start by sharing this podcast with others, put it on social media, email it to a friend, and watch for it when it comes out in early October. Also, if you're interested in Trump, you need to check out my books. You can go to Amazon, just put in Stephen Strang and Trump, and all four of my Trump books will pop up. I believe they're good reading. And of course, if you follow the Strang Report, I've talked about it before. I just wanted to mention it now. Thank you for watching. Until next time, God bless you.